The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsnetwork.com. The Redskins with another win, a win on the road to improve to 5-2.
You're not surprised.
No, I mean, I think if you listen to the show last week, which we know most of the people in D&B and all over do,
I know the one
predicted
who did
this last week. You're the only one who didn't listen last week. We predicted this would happen. Now, here's why this is important. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. Here's, and I'm honest every week. I don't even know why I felt I needed to preface this statement by saying I'll be honest. I'm always honest. Here's why this win is important. It's not because, you know, the Giants are going to make any noise in the NFC East this year. That's not the reason. They're a game up, well, a game and a half up on the Eagles right now. Two games up on the Cowboys right now, who just fired their offensive line coach. That should make a difference. They're back in the playoff picture. They fired their offensive line coach. Yeah, you know, Mark Colombo is going to start coaching the offensive line. So that's going to fix everything down in Dallas. Now, the reason this is a big deal is because we know the history with this team, at least the last few years, that they are consistently inconsistent. Redskins will come out and they'll do exactly what they did week one against Arizona. And then everyone in the DMV, because this is what Redskins fans do, Super Bowl. Here we go. Super Bowl. Things are turning around. And then they'll come out and then they'll lay an egg against the Colts. Right? And so thinking, all right, big win against Dallas. You know, what's going to end up happening is they should win this game against the Giants. But what recent history tells us about the team is that they're going to come out, they'll come out flat, and they'll lose this game. Now, despite my prediction being the Redskins would win this game, I fully expected an egg to be laid Sunday.
That's not right.
And that didn't happen.
That's just not
right. That's why that's a big deal. Because recent history and logic and just what we've seen would say that they're going to come out and lose this game. They didn't. They came out. I'm not going to say that they impressively manhandled a team that was 1-6 because they didn't, but they won. They won the game. And in order to make those steps to get to the playoffs, maybe even remain the top team in the NFC East, you have to beat teams you're better than.
Right.
They're better than the Giants, and they beat the Giants.
Well, you know,
that's why it's a big deal.
You say they're better than the Giants, but no, I was going to say which running back would you rather have, but at this point there's no comparison, right? But look at the receiving corps, right?
Well,
you
know, we can discuss that later.
yeah. You look at the receiving
corps. Because that sounds like fake news. But
you look at the receiving corps, they still got great receivers, right?
They do.
Because I think Sterling Shepard is underrated. Not so much underrated, but vastly underpublicized, right? They just don't talk because the guy on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And we might want to mention to the world that Inside of Rodney Henderson is in studio with us.
Yes.
And he's biting his tongue right now. Because every time I say the word giant, I just see he just bites his tongue right now because he got so much he wants.
We're going to give
him the opportunity just to unload on him, right, and tell us from his perspective what it was like. But they're not that bad, but they're in a point right now where Eli needs a little bit of help.
If you look at the standings, I've never seen a 1-7 team that has so much talent on it.
Yeah.
They're 1-7, and you look at the team and you're like, they can't be this bad.
Yeah.
What in the world is the problem? And you look at it, and I'll be honest with you, I just don't think the problem is Eli Manning. The problem is definitely not the skill positions, and the defense doesn't seem to be the problem. I'm just trying to look. They've allowed 205 points so far this season. That's up there. I mean, that's up. You know, Tampa Bay's allowed more. The Falcons, who are the next opponent, they've allowed more. The 49ers have allowed more. So, and that's just in the NFC. So they're allowing a lot of points. But it just doesn't seem, I can't put my finger on what the problem seems to be in New York. And is an offensive line that valuable or that important? Well, maybe so.
We're going to get Rodney in here.
Dallas seems to think so because they think that if they just fire their offensive line coach, that everything's going to turn around. So maybe it is that important.
We're going to get Rodney in here shortly to answer all those
very good questions.
I want to look at it from the aspect of the team in the Burgundy and Gold who did what they had to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like what they should do. But so often they don't do.
That's the thing.
But they did what they had to do in spite of.
To win the game, yeah.
In spite of some subpar performances for some key players, Alex Smith.
Let's jump right into it. So you give me your grades, and we can go individual position by position and overall, but of the offense.
Of the offense, I'm going to give the offense a solid B minus. Receiving corps played well. Josh Dotson had 5 catches. Well,
he seems to be coming around.
Yeah, they're throwing him the ball, which helps him to catch it quite a bit.
And I heard it
just infuriated me. They gave some stat on him a few weeks back about his degree of separation. I didn't know they gave stats on that.
They get with all these stats, and I understand analytics and like this, but at some point, guys just go on the field and play football, forget the numbers, and I get the value in it, but this whole thing of his, degree of separation.
Hey, wasn't it a Will Smith movie? The degree of separation, something like that?
If not, it should be.
We should copyright
that.
But if he catches the ball, they throw it to him.
What would that movie be about, by the way, degrees of separation?
It was 6 degrees of separation. Okay. It's like, the theory is, you can take any two people.
And there's only 6 degrees of separation between
them. And there's 6 different people in between that that eventually you all would know the same people, right?
I wonder, so if you took you and I, there'd only be 1 degree, and that would be Stanfield's.
By the way, thank you
for that product, Stanfield. I finally got a chance to get in studio to grab what they sent for me. Man, let me just tell you. I've never had undergarments on that are that comfortable. I just got to be honest with you.
That's why you got to play well to win these. We're not just giving this up away. You're going to earn these.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to digress from the point, but I had a golf tournament.
We're talking about winners, right?
Okay, yeah. So the Monday after I received them from you when we came in to do the show, that was after the Dallas win. The Redskins went over the Cowboys. I had a golf tournament, a charity golf tournament I was playing in, at Woodmore Country Club in Prince George's County. And the variety of underwear they gave me, so I'm just looking through, and there was some Sports Flex light, airy. I said, I'm going to try these out at the golf tournament. Halfway through the tournament, I forgot I was wearing underwear. halfway through the tournament, I forgot I had any on. And as a gentleman who oftentimes don't wear them, I know what it feels like to not have them on.
I'm sure they're happy to hear that.
So whether I feel like wearing some or not, I would have Stanfield's on. I'll always have someone to know. They were great. They were wonderful.
That's right.
And I'm taking them out the box and I'm folding them up. I was like, those look nice. So they get her seal of approval and it's just great.
That's right. We're very, very fortunate to have that affiliation with them.
Absolutely.
Right. We know they're listening, right?
And great product too, by the way, the sweatshirts. Now I will say this. I'm not asking for any more. That they sent a large. I don't wear a large. Which is fine.
Well, I kind of told them. That's kind of my fault.
But it's fine.
Let's ask them. We have a bunch of friends in Stanfield's LTD, right?
The fabric on the sweatshirts. I mean, it's quality stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Besides all that, we single-handedly caused a new international trade agreement.
It wouldn't have happened.
They're right, because all of a sudden Canada was our biggest enemy all of a sudden, right?
And then we reached out
to Stanfield's. They reached back. We shook hands. Next thing we knew, it's a new trade agreement.
Exactly.
Mexico was saying, hey, what about us? I'll say, you get your own underwear.
Do you think that the president thanked us?
Absolutely not.
But, he still has 2 more years on his term, so we'll see.
Make underwear great again?
Mugger. Right.
Okay, but exactly.
Let's get back to it. So offense, B+. And you were talking
B-minus. It's not due to the wide receivers who played a gritty game, right? Mm-hmm. They do the dirty stuff, which the wide receivers are helping Adrian Peterson a great deal, mm-hmm. right? Because some of this stuff, and they're helping each other out. The camera angles, they were showing some of the wide receivers blocking it, and which brings me to my next point. The offensive line, strong A-. Because that last run, AP's run, the 64-yarder, mm-hmm. they had the pull, the guards, and the center pulling, and it's just you and I. and Rodney, all three of us together could have run through that hole, right? You know, with the help of Stanfield, we would have made it like maybe 20 yards. But
right,
yeah,
right,
so
right.
That's strong. And what brings it down to and Jordan Reed, you know, Vernon Davis dropped the ball, but you know, you have a guy playing football for like 3 3/4 game and then decide to throw him a pass, he might not be into it. But what brings it down is the quarterback position.
Okay.
Now, I'm not a quarterback basher unless, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you've been known to bash a few.
I've bashed a few in my day, right? I've been quite happy to bash because they deserved it. Well, Captain Kirk, you were one of the ones I bashed, right? Mm-hmm. But you deserved it. We'll talk about you later. But, you know, I'm starting to have some concerns about the quarterback position.
Okay.
Now, new offense, but, you know, that was the purpose in bringing in a veteran quarterback that he'd
pick
up the offense.
That's what I was going to say. It's that, you know, that's one of the things as far as bringing in a vet. He can adapt quickly. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He'll manage the game. Now there seems to be a problem with that.
Yeah. And then he was supposed to be mobile, can use his legs, but his legs.
Now, let me say this about this whole Alex Smith being mobile thing. I've heard it throughout his career.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked every time I hear it. I mean, mobile maybe, but who are you comparing him to? I've never seen him or thought of him as a mobile quarterback, especially not now in his late 30s.
Well, you remember in the
even in Utah, I don't remember him being super mobile.
I remember a playoff game. I forget the team, thing. But he ran. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a. Go ahead, Ryan. Talk. You don't have to like hide. You know.
It was the Saints game. He was running the quarterback suite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ran like
a couple of times.
He ran like 40 yards, right. You know, off of that. So he's had some experience. And he ran a little bit, you know, in pressure situations in Kansas City. But there's something not happening here. And I don't know if it's injury. I don't know if it's something psychological. I don't know if he's being blackmailed or something. But we're not getting 100% work at the quarterback
position.
Don't
forget
right
about
now.
That guy who was coaching over there in Kansas City. I mean, he can make things happen with quarterbacks. Don't forget, he had a quarterback who was mobile before that he decided not to keep. And Donovan McNabb, who came to the Redskins let's just say underperformed while here. He just withered it up. Don't need Alex Smith anymore. And no one thought, I wonder if, you know, keeping the guy who's currently here, Captain Kirk, wouldn't be a better move than trying to go with Alex Smith.
Well, you know, this is Alex's.
Now, it's weird that we're in Washington and at 5-2 after a win against Dallas and the Giants, and we're sitting here talking about the quarterback.
Because we want them to be better.
Right.
We want the New England Patriots is what we want, right? As fans, we want to go in and sit back and relax and enjoy a victory instead of wondering until the last minute. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, even when the Giants scored that last touchdown, I said, oh, my God, here we go again.
Right?
You know, so we want the best.
It was almost a Dallas Cowboys situation.
Almost. Not that bad, though. But, you know, at what point do you like reasonably look for Colt McCoy to come to the game? I mean, unless we see some improvement, and this just multiplies the mystery of why they didn't play him in the preseason.
Right. I mean, well, because you know, you're right, and the thing was, you know, well, it's taking him long to adapt to the offense. He could take some time during the preseason to get acclimated to everything. And so it's a big mystery as to why wouldn't they play him during the offseason at that point.
Yeah, well, that, you know, Scooby Doo and the gang needed to try to find out the answer to this mystery, because we need some improvement. We need to see him getting better every week, and I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I see the same thing happening, and combine that with just the strangest play calling, right? Mm-hmm. You know, especially at the end of the game when you're trying to run out clock and you're throwing the ball, right?
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, we talked about this in the Dallas game. That almost let Dallas back in the game, and it almost cost the Redskins the game.
And throwing the ball at third and one in a key situation where you're
trying
to get clock.
When Adrian Peterson has been clutch all day.
That's
third
so
and
strange.
One. Let's throw it.
Can we talk a little bit about Adrian Peterson?
Let's talk about AP.
You know, there were people in this town who
I was
do
trying
radio.
To think, so I get this text message, and I think, yeah, Rodney's on it too, Sunday, and it's from Kevin.
Yes.
And it just says, AP. I'm trying to figure out, like, what is he talking about? And I'm like, oh, okay, right, Adrian Peterson, got it.
AP, mm-hmm. You know, spelled out by, you know, phonetically, right? You know, AP. This guy. There were people in this town who ridiculed that move when they signed him.
I have no clue why.
He was washed
up. The text message, by the way, A-A-A-A-A-Y-P-E-E-E-E-E.
That says it all. That says it all. And the people, they just ridicule the move, right? He's washed up. He's here. He's just here because they like signing big names. He doesn't have anything left in the tank. He was a bust in New Orleans. He was a bust with the Cardinals, you know? And I said to myself, he right now, if he had just one leg and lost all his hair, it's better than any running back we had on the roster.
But here's the thing. It's like it happened after Darius Geis got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not as if they just signed him just to sign him. There was a need there. If Darius Geis doesn't get hurt, Adrian Peterson's not on this team.
There were people in this town who claimed to know stuff about sports. Anybody can make a mistake.
Right.
But this is like a legitimate analysis. Look at this guy and think that he couldn't play. There's a word for it.
Yeah.
Dumb. That's the word.
At some point, you know, this is not some journeyman who had some success, very little success. This is Adrian Peterson.
This is Adrian Peterson.
You know what I mean?
Who can legitimately go into the Hall of Fame today.
Today. Right. Yeah, no one's turning him away, right?
But anyway, you heard the legend is that Doug Williams called AP. You know, Doug is the vice president of football operations, whatever mm-hmm. that means, right? But he just called without talking to Bruce Allen, without talking to Daniel Snyder. He just called AP and brought him in for a workout. And supposedly, these guys weren't happy about the fact that Doug didn't consult them.
Need to be consulted about AP being brought in?
I would not. And I would also know that these two guys wouldn't have brought him in.
Right.
They wouldn't have brought him in. So, you know, maybe Doug's job was on the line for doing that. And I hope they fired Doug. And so do people like the Cowboys and the Giants. They hope they fired Doug too. But this man is an inspiration. And he's an inspiration to his teammates.
Oh, absolutely.
Offense and defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we get to fake news and not.
All right. That's cool. Well, you know what, man? We should go ahead and take a break now because I'm really, really interested in what Rodney has to say.
Absolutely.
Right? You know,
so we'll hear what Rodney's got to say, and we'll have fake news or not coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.
Federal News Radio is now Federal News Network.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Kevin Stanfield in studio. I'm Claude Jennings. Rodney Henderson, our New York Giants insider, is here. And honestly, Kevin, a little more cheerful than I thought he'd be.
You know, he's a realist, man. He knows what's happening, right? He knows what's happening because burgundy and gold.
Which is good, yeah. So we're glad he's here. We're going to get his take on the game, all things New York Giants. Got to figure out what's going on with that team. We'll see what he thinks. But first, it's time for fake news or not.
It's time for fake news or not.
How we do it. So three questions I give to Kevin. Not even questions, three statements to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. We'll bring Rodney in on this as well.
All right, okay.
So here we go. Question number one, or statement number one. If Darius Geis was not hurt and still in the game, and no Adrian Peterson, he was our starting running back, we'd see the same amount of production. Fake news or not?
I'd say that was fake news. Fake news. Because I think that Adrian Peterson's character and his experience. I think that this is not a rookie. I think that Darius Geis is an extraordinary talent, but I think that Peterson knows what he's been through and in New Orleans, knows what he went through in Arizona, and he knows that he can help this team win, right? And I think that's inspirational to the rest of these guys, right? So I don't think it'll be the same. Now, I think this guy, like I said, I think he's going to be a great Burgundy and Gold member for years to come. Darius is. I just love his personality, right? Mm-hmm. But right now, this is what we need. We need a veteran leadership, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to take us over the top.
I agree. It's fake news. And also, this is a good opportunity for him not only to learn with one of the best running backs of all time.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's a perfect situation to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
And he could give him tips of how he came back from the same injury.
Exactly.
That's fake news.
Yeah.
If you recall, he came back from the injury and was MVP.
Absolutely. So he kind of knows something about that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, I think that's fake news as well. Like you said, Kevin, he not only the on-the-field production, but then the inspiration he brings to the team, but I think also just a sense of – security to where it's that's one thing or one piece you don't have to worry about. You know,
right,
I mean? You
right.
don't have to worry about whether he knows what he's doing.
Right.
You don't have to worry about whether he's ready or up for a game. Mm-hmm. That's one player you don't have to coach up to get him excited about a game. He doesn't need all that. He's a professional. He's one of the best that's ever done it, right? And so I think right along with the inspiration, with the leadership, with the on-field production, he brings a sense of security where, you know, it's like the guys who are blocking up front know this guy knows which hole to hit. You know
right,
what I mean? And
right.
so you can block with a little more confidence. You can play with a little more confidence
right.
because you know this guy's going to make the right choice. He's going to run hard. You know what I mean? And he's not going to – I'm not going to be blocking. All of a sudden someone runs up on my back and it's the running back because he's not sure, – you know what I mean? He makes a wrong cut or he's not being patient enough for the hole to open up. They know AP knows what he's doing.
That's right.
See,
absolutely.
Fake news there.
Right.
Statement number two, Redskins 5-2. The NFC East is on lock with the Eagles at 4-4, Cowboys at 3-4, Giants at 1-7. The NFC East is on lock.
All right, that's fake news. That's fake news.
All right.
Because I'll tell you why. Because it's the NFC East.
Right.
The NFC East is and will always be the best division in football.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's the most competitive.
Right.
Because we don't care about like winning. Of course, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. We just want to beat each other.
Right.
Isn't that right, Rodney?
Right. I agree it's fake news, too. And also because you have the Eagles are starting to get their mojo back, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the Cowboys.
Well, they did fire an offensive line coach.
Oh, man, that's so. That. They turned the corner.
Maybe he'll come to New York and help out our offensive line. So.
That's okay.
I don't know. We'll see. But, no, it's still wide open. You still have to come out and play every season. I mean, every game.
Because mm-hmm.
you never know what's going to happen down the long run.
Absolutely.
From game, anything could happen. Anything could happen.
It's the fakest of fake news, in my opinion. Still two games against the Eagles left. Eagles are only one game back, or a game and a half back. Still, again, two games left against the Eagles, one game against the Cowboys. And outside of Arizona, none of these wins, like Kevin has said in the first segment, like are, you know, beat down, we beat you down win. And if there was a game to do that against, it would have been the Giants, and that just didn't happen. So that's definitely fake news.
Oh yeah.
Statement number three: Defensive Player of the Year so far for the Redskins, DJ Swearinger. Fake news or not?
That's a tough one. Let me tell you why. That's a tough one because Jonathan Allen
mm-hmm.
and Deron Payne
mm-hmm.
have changed the philosophy of this team, and
mm-hmm.
it changes the way the team looks at itself. It changes the way the spectators look at them because these guys are good.
Mm-hmm.
These guys
it's opening up stuff for Ioannidis.
Yeah,
it's opening
really.
Up stuff for Kerrigan.
Right, right.
Man.
And the linebackers, man, Zach Brown, who was obviously hurt earlier because he wasn't performing, and Mason Foster, who was, if I'm correct, was bagging groceries a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys have, because it's all about attitude, man.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, if you think that you're also ran, you're also
yeah.
ran, but.
I agree, it's fake news because you got to play together as a team. And
that's right.
And they're buying in as a team concept. And I hate to say it, you know, they're playing together.
Right.
Yeah, I know you hate to say it. But wait a minute. But one thing I have to add here now, Swearinger is playing.
Right, right,
and
right.
I believe this is the longest, it might be the longest he's been with any team.
He's been with any team.
Right,
for what, 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
and you know, his thing was, he was the one who was coming out and saying that the team wasn't practicing hard enough.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
He was being quite vocal. He was putting the coach on blast. So, yeah, he might not be the MVP, but he's very, very close. So I'm going to say that's closest to
real
not
news.
Before it cannot be fake news. Now,
so well, you say close to being real, but still fake.
Yeah,
Rodney
close.
Says fake news. I don't know if it's news, but I don't want to call it fake news because. So I'm going to label it as alternative facts, as was once said here in Washington.
That's a good one.
So it's an alternative fact.
That's good. That's
meaning,
good
you know. That he could get it, but multiple players on the defense could
right.
get it,
that's
and
true.
I wouldn't be mad.
That's
an alternative
he's
fact.
He's the emotional leader.
Right.
And the best dressed.
And the best
phone setter.
Exactly.
Best setter.
Now, look, let's get a little departure, because I got one for Rodney.
Okay, fake news or not
okay,
for Rodney.
Right.
This is an extra bonus edition
that's
of
right.
fake news or
Rodney
not.
Rodney, hear this. For fake news or not, with the draft pick that they had, the Giants were better off drafting a known commodity in Saquon Barkley than getting the quarterback for the future that they so desperately need.
So I would say, It's a tough question. Yeah, it's a loaded question because if you trust Eli Manning, you know he's a quarterback, so you can trust him. So if we address the offensive line, so I would say you draft the special talent Saquon. Yeah. He's a special one time. So I say fake.
Yeah, I know it's tough. I was thinking about this all night because he terrified me, man.
Saquon Barkley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you, he's a special, talent. It's going to be a tough first year for him. And as a matter of fact, being 1-7, the Giants may want to consider limiting his carries at this point in the season. Seriously, because what's the point? You might want to consider drawing, maybe not running him down in the ground his first season in one that's not going to result in the Giants making the playoffs. But I will say this, I feel like the Giants messed up the whole quarterback situation last season when they benched Eli in favor of, gosh, what's the kid's name? He was with the Jets for Geno Smith. Exactly.
Rodney's here. We would have known that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I would have said the kid, number 7, to play for the Jets at one point. West Virginia is where he went to school. Yeah. So, the reason I say that is, you could have not been happy with the way Eli played.
Right.
The season was already over for the most part. You could have let him finish out the season. You didn't have to draft a quarterback. You could have brought in a veteran and had a competition.
Yeah.
You could have just looked down 95 and said, okay, we'll pay Kirk Cousins. Come out here and beat Eli out for the job. Yeah. You could have brought in a vet.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then still draft Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So the Giants, I feel messed up because then after benching Eli and the public outcry over that, which I understand from the fans, and then Geno Smith showing you why he's Geno Smith.
Right.
No news here. Right. He can't play. He's not a pocket quarterback. He can't, he can't play. He can't play quarterback on a professional level. Right, he's just not good enough at this point. And he needs time to be developed. He never got that in New York. There's a whole book you can write on Geno Smith. I think he's got a great arm and he's got a leg. He can play. He's got to be developed. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys who can come in and play off the break. But that, I digress. The point is that they messed that up before the draft. They made the right move, but the reason it seems like it's the wrong move is because they made a move that was even more wrong 6 months ago before the draft, and it's hard to fix that.
So, Rodney, whose call was that? How did that whole thing transpire?
From McAdoo, he wanted McHomes, so we see why.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they wanted to trade up to get him, but they didn't get a chance to do it. I think they shut it down. Reese shut it down. Or whatever. No, I'm sorry. Somebody jumped in front of. I think it was Andy Reid.
Okay, whatever,
probably.
Jumped in front of, so they didn't get him.
Patrick Mahomes.
So I think it was on. It's in the buzz of the locker room that Eli's just not. I say a rah-rah type guy. Mm-hmm. It's just, even keels. Like, I'm still going to do my job. I'm going to be consistent of what I'm doing. Work hard, study film, and read defenses. That's what Eli's best attributes is. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want as a quarterback, to read defenses and get and pass to the open guy. That's what they get paid for.
Right.
So, all that said, it's just, it stemmed from that, from last year. But they try to address it. They had faith in him. They try to address it through the offensive line, through the draft, Will Hernandez, and Nate Shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it's not working out. It's backfiring right now. Yeah. So that's what's going on.
So when you look at the team, Rodney, we talked about this. You look on paper, and there's no reason why you would assume this team would be 1-7. And a couple of close games that could have went their way that would have added a win or two. But what do you think is the issue there with the Giants?
The issue is when Tom Coughlin was there, he called the red zone the green zone. Mm-hmm. So you want to go and score, and we're not scoring points during the drive. So I think we like 3-for-9 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And you have to put up points in the red zone. Mm-hmm. We can't put up field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And to score against Redskins, the 26th ranked defense in the red zone. Mm-hmm. You have to score in the end zone, so we're not doing that.
Sure our rating went up after this weekend, though. But go ahead.
Because we played the Giants, we're not scoring.
Okay, we'll take it how we get them. It's cool.
But we're not scoring points, so we're not scoring any points. You're not going to win in the league. Mm-hmm. And a defense, we just traded away 2 defensive players this past week, and I think the defense came to play.
Right.
Even though Alex Smith is not throwing the ball for some apparent reason. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's not getting the concept of the offense or whatever, but it seemed like some wide receivers is open, and he's not throwing the ball. So we should have took advantage of it yesterday. It was just a tough loss, but the offensive line is the number one factor for
me. That's what I wanted to ask. Is this line really that bad, or is Eli holding that ball a little too
long? They're not playing together as a team. And, you know, they're not getting the concept of tackle stunts. Mm-hmm. That they're doing regular basis stunts, TE and stunts. And they're not, you know, communicating with one another, getting one-on-one. If you can get to the quarterback with three, it's nothing you could do.
Right.
It's nothing you could do.
Seven
sacks from the Washington Redskins?
No, you said that wrong, man. Seven sacks from the
Washington Redskins. It's unheard of. It's been a while since what?
It's been a little while.
Just to say, it's just kind of ridiculous, man. And then we get a drive, then you drop it on 4th and 3, and this the team is not playing together.
That was bad.
You
know?
And then we stopped them from getting the first down. And
a lot of those things were self-inflicted, I think, from Washington.
And that's what I was about to say, when he ran into the punter. And they gave the Redskins the prime. They're not trying to win the game. So
this stuff with Odell Beckham, like, number one, do you pay him the money you paid him? And then number two, is, you know, what do you think about him being so vocal about things?
Well, I feel like you have to keep it in-house. Mm-hmm. You can't air out your dirty laundry in-house. Mm-hmm. You got to keep it in-house. That's sacred in the locker room. It's like a brotherhood.
Right.
So it's like, in a sense, you're saying, Eli, I don't think you're good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're the leader of the team. So that's one of the biggest issue for the Giants. We don't have no leadership. Mm-hmm. Strahan, Tuck is not coming to the door. Kareem McKenzie, David Deal not blocking. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to step up. It can't be the kicker for the captain.
Right.
You know, Eli has to be a captain. Right. He's not really vocal. He just leads by example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's frustrating watching the New York Giants this year. 1-7 again. What's it, 3-24 the past 2 years?
Yeah.
But, you know, what I found very interesting was, and I made a note to myself and sent myself a reminder to talk about when we were recording today, even with the team having this poor record, the stands were full.
Right.
The stadium was full.
It's all love for the Giants,
And I said that the Burgundy and Gold fans got a lot to learn. And that's what fan support really is, right? No matter what. I mean, they might be bums, but they're albums. So the Giants should be very, very thankful, right? Mm-hmm. The situation they're in, because New York has always been criticized as being like too critical of a media market and a rough place to play, but they got the fan support.
Fans are diehards. Even ask the Jets. Jets have been winning a long time and they still show up.
So I don't think the Giants are far away, because I think that's something that the Burgundy and Gold, and we'll see next week against Atlanta.
Sometimes you're gonna be careful what you ask for. They want Eli gone, so when he's gone, what are you gonna have? Kyle Letta's a rookie, but if you turn him in now, let him play, see what he has. What for? He's going to get fragile. It's confidence.
I don't want
to do this. These people hit me hard.
Now, if, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Kirk Warner still on the team when they drafted Eli?
He was. He was the veteran. We talked about earlier. And I guess it didn't work out from the system when they was working. You know, it was play action, throw a deep. That's the type of offense where we want to run it, play good defense, and play action to Plexico Burris, but it didn't work out.
Do you think that Eli's the type of guy that would play the mentor to the younger guy? Think he would?
Phenomenal. They say he's a wonderful teammate. They show every ends out how to be a pro, how to read film and stuff like that. So he's mentoring. I don't think he's not like, oh, well, I'm not going to teach you anything.
He's not doing to Aaron Rodgers what Brett Favre did.
No, right, right. No, but
how bad was that?
But by that same token, was he the type of guy that would restructure his deal to stay around? Because I don't think that any Giant fan would mind if they drafted a quarterback high and had Eli around to rely on.
I agree, because NFL stands for not for long. It's a production business. Mm-hmm. You're not producing, but he's not producing because of the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, he's won 2 Super Bowls. I just don't think it goes that quickly, you know? But sometimes it goes quick.
We just got to be careful what we ask for. You know, getting rid of Eli Manning, and what are you going to have next? So that's what the next question is. So you have to build similar to what the Redskins have been doing. Build a defensive line and offensive line. Offensive line and defensive line are kind of dominant this year. I would tip my hat towards that. So in the future, Dave Gettleman, if you want me to, I'll be 41. Maybe I could work out, help you out, you know, because I don't understand why the gods and the center can't talk, communicate to one another.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. One question about, here in Washington, Cowboys Week is a huge week. But Nate Newton was on a show, on another, station, and we like Doc Walker. He was talking to Doc Walker, and Doc asked him, how is the rivalry for him and in Dallas when it's the Redskins week? And he said, you know, it's really not a big deal to Cowboys. So I was talking to a Cowboys fan earlier this week about that, and he said the same thing. He was like, you know, I get riled up about the Redskins week because Redskins fans make a big deal about it. I just hate the Giants and the Eagles. Like, I don't really care about the Redskins too much. It's just, I like seeing their fans sad. Right. Mad when they lose to us, he said, us as a Cowboys thing. What is the Redskins rivalry to you as a Giants fan? Do you care? Is there a bigger one in the NFC East for you? Or
for me, it's big. So I talk trash to you and Kevin and my family members.
We're glad we could help. Right?
The only winner in the household. Big rivalry game because it's usually either whoever's won the division and coming through the Redskins. I always remember 0-2. Mm-hmm. Get ready to score on the goal line. We made that stop. Clinton Porter. So, love the Redskins. My favorite quarterback of all time is Tony Romo. Ah. But, you know, that's another statement, another time.
Mine was, he was my favorite that night that we beat him and went to the playoffs, right?
I loved him. Right, yeah. Right.
There you go. So we all love
him. But there's been some classic games throughout the years with the Giants and the Burgundy and Gold, right? It's the games against Parcells and Gibbs, that was classic football.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, the NFC East has always been the best, most competitive division in football. And you got to respect fans like Rodney. Like I said, they show up, right? They, mm-hmm. you know, they criticize their team. Like I said, they might be bums, but they're all bums, right? You know, I respect them, but you know, respect them so much that we invite you to come on over, man, be a Burgundy and Gold fan whenever you get the chance, right? You know, you are the only Giants fan we allow in the studio.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we wouldn't even talk to that Eagles guy from earlier this year. We have never spoken to him, actually. He's never been on the show. So, Rodney, thanks a lot, man. Stick around for the third segment. We're going to talk a little bit about next week's matchup against the Falcons. I'll have a flag football report as well, and we will have the Stanfield's play of the game coming up next.
Absolutely.
On the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.
Federal News Radio is now Federal News Network.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. So, yeah, we're wrapping things up. We're going to do a preview of the upcoming game against the Atlanta Falcons. Also got to give out our Stanfield player of the game award. But first, a flag football report from Manny's team.
Let me interrupt you.
Yes.
This will be the last time we do this without me having some music for Manny.
Okay.
Manny deserves some music, man. Maybe it's a theme from Superman or something, right?
Yeah, no, well it should be, right? So this was week 7. So
you do it and I'll just sing in the background.
Yeah, so absolutely. So
go ahead.
You know, this past Saturday it was raining.
Yeah.
And so it was raining from about 4 p.m., 5 p.m. Friday into Saturday morning and throughout Saturday morning until about 2 o'clock. We thought surely the commission is going to cancel a flag football game for 5-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
But not tackle, flag for 5-year-olds. It's going to be canceled. 6 o'clock Saturday morning comes, no cancellation. 7 o'clock comes, no cancellation. 8 o'clock comes, no cancellation. So my wife's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, you're going to get dressed because we have to go to the game. Like, it's not canceled. We got to go. Like, she's not even ready. It's like, we need to go.
Right.
So we get there. Well, I leave her at the house. Me and Manny, like, we got to go.
Yeah,
so
Manny, give me the keys, baby. Yeah. I'm gone.
So me and Manny leave. She meets us up there. And it's raining. And some parents are like, you know, man, why are they still doing the game today? Why are they still doing the game? You know, and inside I'm like, I don't know. I was hoping they'd cancel it. But I'm kind of like, you know what? This is kind of cool. You know what I mean? It's not like pouring down, raining, but it's substantial enough to get wet, right? And muddy out there.
It's football,
the kids
man.
Seem to be having, you know, they can't wait. So what's interesting is the other team's coach doesn't show up.
What?
He's not there. And this guy's always late. Like, I've had his kids over because, so in his division, there's only enough kids for two teams.
Yeah,
so they've been playing each other for the last 8 or 7 weeks. So I'll have his kids come over and, you know, we'll do stretches and stuff. So, you know, cause I'm a good guy. I don't want, you know, a bunch of 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds sitting over there with nothing to do.
They can get
in trouble that way, right?
Right.
So anyway, so he's not there. So I tell the ref, let's just start the game anyway. You know, I'll just coach both teams. It's hard enough chasing after, you know, 4 or 5 year olds. one team. Now I got two of them. Yeah. So anyway, we start the game. And, yeah, it's just fun, man. I mean, by the time we started, you know, as the coach and the four and five year old kids, the coaches play quarterback. So I'm playing quarterback. So I'm out there playing. I forgot it was even raining. It was so much fun playing with the kids and they out there playing. They won again. Manny scored three touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions. And so that, I don't count the 2-point conversions, but the touchdown says 22 touchdowns on the season, 22 said, touchdowns in seven games.
Right. He said, I don't even count the conversions.
No,
right.
I don't even count the touchdown count. He caught a pass. Now he catches passes for me all the time, but so this week in practice, what we worked on doing, was, a trick play where I would hand it off to another kid. Yeah. The kid would then pass the ball to Manny.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked like a charm. I said, this is how evil I could get. So I'm scheming, game planning for this, for another team that's got 4 or 5 year olds, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I hand the ball off to this player, Zach, twice. I didn't think Zach would score, cause Zach's not that fast. The other team's got a guy that's really, really fast. And so he caught Zach twice, but the whole thing was to set up.
Right, thinking
Zach's going to get there. Cause how hard can it be to set up 5 year olds, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're gullible.
Well, as a matter of fact, man, Claude didn't know what I had him mic'd. I got a little bit of his, him coaching up the kids here.
Which is good. Some two man and some single high man and some lurking. Did a good job of mixing up the coverages.
Yeah, yeah, man. So yeah, that's why
they just weren't ready for the lurk. They weren't ready for lurk. So I get Manny to hike me the ball, and I say, "Look, when you hike the ball, just run 3 yards down the field and just sneak out to the left a little bit. Zach's going to throw you the ball. We worked on this in practice. Just do it." So he hikes the ball. I hand it over to Zach. Zach takes a step to the line of scrimmage like he's going to run. He stops. Man, three kids just run right at him like they're going to get him. He throws it up. Manny catches it, turns around, and runs 40 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah,
so there was a Tim Tebow play.
Absolutely. Absolutely, a Tim Tebow play. So this upcoming week is the final week of the season. And so looking to go 8-0. Hopefully they can do that. But then the following Tuesday, because they have practice Tuesday night, the following Tuesday they want to have a pizza party for the team, which I guess is fine, but they could do it after the final game, right? And then the Saturday after that, the 10th, they want to do an award ceremony for the players. And so I'm like, why are you extending the season this long? Like, all the parents, we're over it. Right, like, they were over it when it was raining Friday night. Like, you know what? Let's just finish. The season's over. Let's just stop. Everyone's over it. Now, the kids are. Now, you do it for the kids. You do it for the kids.
Right.
Jeez Louise. Man, can we just end it all on the last Saturday? But whatever. We're having fun.
Well, Rodney, as the winner of last week's recipient of the Stanfield Player of the Week award, man, you know, it's cool to see your kids participate, and it's very cool to see your kids excel. But do you have a hard time like towing that line where you don't want to like take over? You know what I mean? Like, and coach from the sideline, and what's that like for you?
For me, it's hard when the coach is being irate for kids, they're just kids.
Right.
That's when I step in the line, I have to be the parent.
Right.
But coaching from the sidelines, no. The coaches out there, they put the time in, they volunteer, and they trying to instill work ethic and how, you know, to learn the game.
Right.
So they're not just, you know, doing it for just to be doing it because they, you know, just because they want it. They really have a passion for kids and they want to see kids to succeed. So I had an incident. And we were playing volleyball and one lady, she was just being rude or whatever, coaching for the sidelines. Like,
wow.
And actually, this is 2 weeks. This is why I was so impressive for my daughter to bounce back for the game. And 2 weeks before, she, you know, she messed up a couple of times, but she bust out crying. But the lady was just being negative to the coaches. Every team, our team, the visitor team, I mean, the home team and everything. She's just coaching from the sideline. And my wife kind of say, enough is enough.
Right? Yeah.
If we were going to say something, we're going to say something positive. Nothing negative. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coaching from the sidelines is a biggie for me because coaches put their time and effort into kids. And you don't get that a lot of time.
And by the way, I mean, you come there and you're screaming from the sidelines on the game day. These coaches are doing this stuff with practice.
Right.
After hours, and this is not most of them, not a job for them. They're volunteering, you know what I mean? They've got other work and other family, and they've got a family of their own. Like, you know, if you care this much, why don't you participate and why don't you volunteer your time as opposed to sitting on in the stands yelling and screaming at coaches?
Now, well, you can give them tips when they go at home.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But not right there.
Well, I wish I could be as pleasant as you two guys when I was. But I will say I'm with you that, you know, I would find myself. I said that I wasn't going to do it, but I had one daughter played basketball, the daughter played softball, and both. You know, maybe a little bit of their mother's talent rubbed off on them because both of them were pretty good. And that, but I was vocal. I was very vocal, but always positive, and not just for my kid.
Right.
Yeah, but for all the kids on the team. Right. And I think that's the important thing.
Yeah,
because they all, because without the fun, if you can't enjoy football or volleyball or basketball when you're a kid, what's the point? You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll cheer on not just Manny, but the guys on the other team. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good tackle number 12. Yeah, absolutely.
You got you. Well, one thing, man, before we give out the Stanford Player of the Year award, Rodney had a story that he wanted to share with us about the game day experience, right?
Sweet.
And, you know, we know what it's like for us, right? Because we spend a lot of time watching the games together, critiquing the team, because we are, you know, professional journalists.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, football insiders, right?
We take this very seriously.
Yes. but Rodney, now Rodney's a Giant insider, right? And we know the Giants fan is a little bit different, but Rodney wanted to share this experience. I believe it was the post-game experience after that loss, right? That hard fought. I mean, we actually snatched victory away from the Giants late because they gave them that little bit of hope for the late touchdown. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was hard. So what I did, I was angry. I started cooking. So this is my second cake I ever baked in my life. So what I did was I was, taking a technique I got from my previous friend. They had, pudding. They installed pudding inside to mix with the cake. On the box, when you read the instructions, it says 17 minutes. Okay, 17 minutes. We good. We got a fresh cake. So we're going to be good to go. But 17 minutes come up. Well, I did it 16 minutes because I said, I don't want it to burn up. Took it out. It's not done.
Okay.
Here come my wife coming through. She say, this is the second time you done messed up a cake.
Coaching from the sideline. Right?
From the sideline. Uh-huh. See, so you can't do that again. If you're not going to measure the ingredients or whatever, you can't just do anything like that. You have to get a recipe. Uh-huh. I said, I did. I got it. I watch it.
She understands you're doing this because you're upset.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just trying to process anger.
Eli Manning, mix the cake. Eli Manning, offensive line.
So I throw it back in the oven. Throw it back in the oven. Let it rest for 3:30. For another additional 15 minutes. Came back out. It was right. Pop right on. Let it sit for a little bit. Not so warm, whatever. Put it on the plate. Cut it. Gave my wife the first piece. I said, oh, what'd you have to say now?
Tastes good now, huh?
Totally good.
Nice.
It was good.
Good. The Giants fans, you know,
that's a good way to process your anger.
That's right. And you know what? Coincidentally, this leads me right into my recipient of this week's Stanfield Recipient of the Week Award.
Okay.
I'm giving it to the Giants fans.
Nice.
Because the team was like, they had won one game this season long, but the stadium was packed. Right. It was packed.
Right.
And I just gained so much respect for those people, right?
Did they boo Eli at all? I thought there was some boos going on there.
It was some boos on
the
They're going on a fourth down, maybe.
You know, when they didn't go for the fourth down, they figured we won. But the fact that they showed up and there was so much, the stadium was blue. And they were cheering their team. The team had, you know,
had no shot. Doesn't happen that way.
And that just made me proud. It made me proud of the NFC East. And I tweeted immediately that the B&G fans got a lot to learn. And because of that dedication and that grit, that stick-to-itiveness, right? Well, I don't want to use any of those words.
Stick-to-itiveness.
That pride, right? You know, that pride, you know, of support. There you go. That's right. That's why they're going to win this week's Stanfield Players of the Week Award, right?
Giant fans. Good job.
We appreciate it on the bye week.
It
might change in the future for the
That's funny. Coming up this upcoming Sunday, the Falcons come to town 3-4. Kevin, what are your thoughts on this game?
I think we're really, really, really going to see what we got, right? Because they got Julio Jones, and for some reason, what's the other receiver's name?
Calvin Ridley from Alabama.
Ridley, yeah, that's right. The number Alabama receivers. And, oh, gosh, I forget the name of our free agent receiver from Alabama, the one that had such a great preseason. I'll think of it by next week because he got hurt in the first game of the season, right? Mm-hmm. That could have turned, I see, you know what I mean? That could have been a very, very, vital pickup for the Burgundy and Gold because of the turnover we had in the receiver position. But Ridley and Jones.
Cam Sims.
Yeah, Cam Sims is the guy that got hurt.
Right.
And you know, dealing with Julio Jones and Ridley is going to be it's going to be a challenge. Because we've had, you know, the secondary, we got youth there, right? We have the rookie started yesterday, and he got schooled a little bit, mm-hmm. but he came back strong, had a key defensive play. He got beat and recovered and batted the ball away from Odell, and it's going to be great. We're really going to see what we got because we're going to go up against big receivers and fast receivers, and it's not going to be a thing where we can just sit back and just let them have their way.
Right,
you know, we're going to have to play aggressive defense, and it could possibly we might have to go to a shootout.
And that's the thing, and I think that's where the key to the game lies. You know, you're going to find out something about the defense, but these guys can put up points. They've put up 190 points already, but they've also allowed 212. That's more than the Giants. And so if they can't score in consecutive weeks more than 20 points against the Giants defense or against the Falcons defense, and you can add to that, although the Cowboys defense is a little bit better, but than the Falcons defense, there's issues there on offense. And then maybe there's a reason why we got to say, Alex Smith, I don't know, Colt McCoy, maybe give him a shot. I don't know. If you can't put up points against this offense, win or lose, something's got to be done against this defense. Something's got to be done with the Redskins offense.
It depends on why they're not scoring. What do you think, man?
I think the Redskins, if you would tell the tale, if they're having problems scoring on this defense, because Monday night when we played, the Giants played against them, we should have left a lot of points out there, but we couldn't block nobody. Mm-hmm. They had the same problem this game against the Redskins. But if Alex Smith don't do well in this this game, you might have to start calling about Colt McCoy.
Yeah, at what point do you bring him in, though? Do you change it? Do you do it at home? Because I see no problem with letting the quarterback sit for a half, you know, right. Let him figure out. I mean, look at what happened with Jameis Winston and Fitzpatrick. Jameis threw the four picks, and the game was out of hand. And then Fitzpatrick came in, worked that Fitz magic, as they say, and took him, you know, had a chance to win that game.
Right.
And by the way, Jameis Winston has been benched for this upcoming game. Right. Fitzpatrick's starting this game.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just got to do it. Give him a chance to sit and maybe earn his spot. Maybe he shouldn't have just gotten it back after his suspension so readily. But you know, you can only give this guy the benefit of the doubt for so long.
Right.
It gets to the point now you're affecting the team and the chances to win.
Right.
Now, if he's missing things, if it's something physical, if he just doesn't have time to throw or is off, that's one thing. But if he's missing things, if they call a play and he's missing, he's not going to the right read or the right progression, they got to take a look at Coach. And that's coaching. That's all coaching.
So let me ask you a question. So do you think it's a trust thing? Because he has trust with Vernon Davis because he's a former teammate. So you think it's a trust thing, Flores?
I think it's an inconsistency. It's inconsistency because the coach keeps shuttling out different players in and out for these different packages, and he doesn't have time to establish a trust with any of them. I look on certain key downs, and you got to commend Fox for the camera work. You see a picture of Vernon Davis, not Vernon Davis, of Jordan Reed standing on the sideline, right?
You know? Absolutely. Key, it was the Dallas game where it was a key third and like six or something like that, a third and four, and we see Adrian Peterson and Jordan Reed
leaving the game. Right.
What in the world is happening here?
And maybe that's where the trust thing goes. You know, he doesn't trust that the coach knows what he's doing.
Maybe Alex is saying the problem's not me. Believe me.
And
this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Right. And
I played for Andy Reid for the last few years. This guy Gruden doesn't know what he's doing.
And I must say, I have wondered the same thing.
We all have. And it's funny because we're saying this, and the team's 5-2.
That's right. And, but see, that's the beautiful thing about this, man. We've done this show when it was the opposite.
Right. We've been saying the same thing, except they were 2-5.
Right. But no, what we want perfection, right?
Right.
And, you know, we're not trying for a miracle, right? You know, we can pray, and you know, miracles are possible, right?
Anyone who listens to this show knows that we demand perfection.
That's right.
This show is perfection.
Really, we want them to be at least as good as us.
Right. At least as good as we are. And we'll see if we can make that happen again for you next week, guys. Thank you. Oh, wait, before we leave, though, I need score predictions. I'm going 34-17. Redskins lose.
34-17?
Wow.
All right, I'm going 34-17. Redskins win. 2 touchdown passes, Colt McCoy, after after mysterious Alex Smith concussion.
They're going to take him back to the blue curtain. You're going to see him trying to pull away like, nothing's wrong with me. Why are you taking me? Nothing's wrong.
That's right.
Like, get in here.
28-21 Falcons on a controversial pass interference.
Okay, there we go. Well, you've got it on tape, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see what we can do it again next week on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. Work.